Steve and I have known each other since 1971, a lot longer than Chris. And he moved to the East Bay in California right as I was leaving to go WOW, and he ran an incredible fellowship in Berkeley, California, while he was going to school at Cal. And so many people came to his fellowship. Some still are in his fellowship that were from that fellowship. And Steve's been here for 35 years, right?
Yeah.
And Steve and I have worked very closely together for that whole time. And I love Steve because he is a meek man. He's a tender man. He's a guy who, he's really good at being with people, like over lunch especially, or breakfast or dinner, any food he likes to eat. And, but he's always been really great at counseling people and helping them in their lives. And so, you know, Dr. Werewolf said a long time ago that the key to God's Word moving is gift ministries working together. And Steve and I have worked really well together. He's allowed me to do what I do, and I've allowed him to do what he does. And that's another key, finding out what people do and then letting them do it. It has been something. We've been through so many things together, and we've come out on the side of God, which is always the best side to get out on. And him and his wife, Lita, are moving to Florida to move the word there, and I'm sure that they will appreciate him as well. So I wanted Steve because, you know, the South doesn't get to see Steve that much. And this was supposed to be some kind of like a Middle South Day in the Word. I wanted everybody to be able to be blessed by hearing God's Word taught by Steve once again. So, Steve, I love you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. I'm glad I came to this meeting today. There was a lot of nice things said about me. That's good. I am very good at going out to dinner, Chris, and all that stuff. So. Thanks to Jerry and Joe for allowing me to do this, and to Chris for all the nice things that he said about me. And it's a privilege that I have to teach you guys here in the room and whoever is listening. My wife and I were going to move to Florida, but we'll still work for Harbor Life Fellowship. We'll still be at Advances and all the stuff like that. And, you know, I've had a tremendous privilege to be here for 35 years. So I don't want to cry, so I'm going to change the subject here. Thank you for your prayers on our house. We have a nice house in Florida, and it's an answered prayer, and it's going to be great to move the word there, and you know, we'll still be a part of what's going on here. It's a great opportunity too, I think, for Jesse and Lisi to do what they're going to do, and you know, have the responsibility in the north, and it's a great opportunity for us too. We have more believers now in Florida, and I'll have more of a time to be with them and also maybe travel to different places in the United States to help some folks. So thank you for all your prayers, and thanks to Jerry and Joe to allow me to do this today. I was born at a young age. It's an old Bill Duncan joke. I'm Italian, and it was my little Italian... It's not even a jersey clap. I'm Italian, and it was my little Italian grandmother who taught me how to pray. Now, I didn't pray to God. I prayed to Mary. But she taught me how to pray, and she taught me there was a God. And my father died when I was 13 years old, and I quit praying. I quit saying the Hail Mary. I quit doing all that, and I didn't really talk to God for 4 years until I took a class called Power for Abundant Living, and then I realized how to pray better. But, you know, since we're all being honest here, you know, honestly, from time to time, I do say a few Hail Marys just in case we're wrong. That's not my joke. That's an old joke. A Joe Guarini joke.
Just in case we're wrong.
So today I'd like to cover some benefits of prayer. Not all the benefits of prayer, but just a few benefits of prayer today, okay? So, you know, when you see benefits or somebody tells you about benefits, then, you know, if you have the benefits of exercise or the benefits of eating right, then maybe that's good motivation to eat right or to exercise. Well, you know, today we're going to look at benefits of praying, and maybe that's good motivation for us to pray more in our life. So today we're just going to look at some benefits of praying. One, like has been covered, and the manifestations were awesome tonight. The first benefit that we're going to cover is that we get to hang out and fellowship with our Father. You know, our Father is tremendous. He's set up that we have access with Him. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, if there's a person in life, like, who's very famous and all that, you know, people pay thousands of dollars just to be in the same room with that person, like a famous sports figure, a meet and greet. Or if you want to be with the president, you pay $10,000 to be at some banquet where he's there. You know, we get to hang out with God our Father, and that's really great. He's very wealthy. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's very powerful. He created the heavens and the earth. He's very loving. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He's our Father and loves us and only wants the best for us. And He set up this whole thing so we could talk to Him all the time. Look at Psalm 55, please. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and in verse 17 it says, Psalm 55, 17, evening and morning and at noon I will pray, and I will cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. It's not just in the morning, it's not just at night, but at noon, in the morning, at night, all the time we could talk to our Father. He's there all the time, and He wants us to talk to Him. We can hang out in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Look at Psalm 62, please. Psalm 62. You know, in these times that are a little tough, we sure can talk to God. Psalm 62, please. Psalm 62. And in verse 8, Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Noticed here in the same verse, it talks about trusting in God. And then it talks about pouring out our heart before Him. Like Jerry was talking about before, if here we are and we're talking to somebody and they don't care about us or we don't trust them, then why should we even pour out our heart or even talk to the person, because they're not listening? Here it says, let me read it again, trust in Him at all times, you people, pour out your heart. We can pour out our heart to Him because we trust in Him. What a very great thing. Have you ever been on a bus and you're sitting next to somebody, or a train, and you start talking to the person? Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. A weird thing might happen. The person might talk back, right? That's not rocket science. You know, you talk to God, you pour out your heart. He wants to help us. He's our Father. Boy, I get blessed when our girls, you know, talk to me, and that's really important. So we can you know, he's with us all the time and we can just talk to him. And that's a habit to develop in our life, that we can pour out our heart to him. And that is a habit that we should develop. Look at 1 John chapter 1, please. So another thing is that prayer helps us to get what we need and want. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14. So we're looking at now prayer helps us to get what we need and want. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what?
Hears us."
Should I ask God to help me steal the car across the street? No.
No.
He's not. Thank you, Joe. He's not going to do that because it's not according to his will. So it's very good that we as kids, we know what his will is. And that's important to know. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. You know, we can take God at his word. Philippians chapter 4. We can take God at his word. We can believe his word. When we talk to God, we can, and ask him for things, we can remember what he's promised us. My wife and I, we've had two girls, and they're all grown up and doing whatever they were doing. But when they were young, they were like little lawyers with us. Some of the words that they would say to me that sometimes I loved to hear and other times I didn't like to hear was, "Daddy, you said." And if I was busy, I didn't want to hear those words because I had to come through and have integrity, just like Chris was talking about. When they pulled that on me, I had to do it because, "Daddy, you said." And they had that trust in my wife and I that if we said something, we were going to do it. And we can have that same confidence with God because he said it, and he's God, and he's not a man that he should lie, and he's going to come through. So we're supposed to know his will, and if we know his will and we're praying and we're asking something according to his will, we believe his word, and we're going to get that because he's faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You could take it to the bank. That's the truth. If we have a need, he's going to supply it. Now, can he go above his word? Sure, he can go above his word. He could go above his word. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, please. He could go way above his word. Say a father takes his kid to the ice cream store, and the father says, "Well, I'm going to get you a scoop of vanilla ice cream." That child can remind the father of that, and if the father told the truth, then that child is going to get a scoop of vanilla ice cream. But you know, that child might get more, right? He might get two scoops. He might get a milkshake. Maybe he could ask for more. Or maybe the dad is just blessed and wants to give him more. So we can take God at his word, but God can always do more. And that's really cool. Are you limiting God? Isn't there a teaching like that somewhere? Are you limiting God? Is that in the green book?
The blue book.
Oh, the blue book. I see. That's a nice. Once in a while, the Italian slips through. Okay. How do you speak in Italian? How do you speak in Italian upside down? Like this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Yes, we could take God at His word. He's able to deliver in ways that we don't know. We don't have to tell God how to deliver us. He just delivers us, and He can always go way above. See why? Because He loves us, and when we ask God for things, we should know that He cares, that He loves, that He supplies, that He provides all these things, and He cares about us. Man, you know, I've been a daddy for a while. I get blessed when we can do things for our children. God is like that tremendously. You know, God can always go above His word. You know, in Acts chapter 19, there were special miracles by the hand of Paul, right? God did something for him way and above. It was phenomena, way above. With the Apostle Paul, God needed to help him. I mean, he was out in the front lines doing some wild stuff. You know, if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he got revelation about the third heaven and earth. Does it say in the Bible you're going to get revelation about the third heaven and earth? It doesn't really say that. But man, look at what God did for Paul. So, you know, God supplies our need. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please. We can pray for spiritual understanding that we can know. We can pray for spiritual understanding so that we can know. Ephesians chapter 1. Sometimes believers, you know, people pray for parking spaces, or people pray for, you know, money to meet their bill, or people pray for, you know, Uncle Harry who's sick, or Uncle Tom, whatever it is, Uncle somebody. But there's a lot more to prayer than that. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Now look at this. This is one of the prayers in Ephesians. It says, "Wherefore I also, after that I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So, this is a prayer. He's making mention of them in their prayers. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." They were going to get spiritual knowledge. We get spiritual knowledge either by the Word or by revelation. So it's big. Yes, we might want something financial or whatever, but how about a great knowledge of God's Word? How about being sharp so we can walk through the valley of human need, so we can walk through the valley of whatever, of the shadow of death, so we can be sharp in our knowledge, so that we can bring deliverance and do what God would have us to do. Look at this. "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know." You can know that you know that you know. "What is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to His mighty power." Look at that. That you can know that you know that you know. Anybody ever heard of Janis Joplin? "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends."
Was this what you were going to play
today? It was. It was. Do I have any potential?
No, this is...
Do I have any potential?
This is much better.
Oh, okay. Do I have any potential along these lines?
Yes.
Hidden potential.
Yes. Hidden.
Hidden potential. You know, I got the word in California, and we used to go to the Reverend's house at, you know, when I was in high school or whatever. And my brother and I, we sat in the front row. And there was a scandal in the fellowship. There was a scandal in the fellowship because they couldn't figure out why the singing was so bad. And then, you know what they did? they blamed it on my brother and I because we're in the front row. Somehow I overcame that. It took a long time, really, to do that. But look at that prayer for a Mercedes. And it's rather shallow, isn't it? What we're looking here is spiritual understanding that you can know. Do we ask God for greater knowledge that we could be sharp? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. No, Psalm 119.
This was much better, by the way.
Thank you. In person. All right, look at Psalm 119. I think I did that okay, actually. I surprised myself. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 18. Here's a great verse. We have a song in the songbook that's kind of like this verse. But don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. Verse 18, it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." He's praying. He's talking to God. I mean, this is a cool thing. So we can be sharp so that we can know that we know that we know. And we can have that confidence because we have that knowledge. How about Philippians chapter 4, please? Philippians chapter 4. Another one that we're going to cover today is that prayer helps to overcome anxiety. Prayer helps to overcome anxiety. Hey, there's a lot of anxiety in the world these days. If you're in the liquor business, you're doing well because people are getting a lot of counsel from Reverend Jack Daniels. A lot of hearty counsel. You know, but there's another way besides Reverend Jack Daniels. And look at this. What is God's solution to anxiety? One way to do it is to look in the Bible, believe it or not. How about Philippians chapter 4? And in verse 6 it says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing." Now what's that three-letter word there after that? Anybody tell me?
But.
All right, there's big buts in the Bible and little buts, and I didn't take the time to look at the Greek to see the largeness of that. But here it says, "Be careful for nothing." But instead of that, instead of being anxious, it says, "In everything, by prayer," that's what this teaching is about, "by prayer and supplication, requests with thanksgiving." So prayer, and, you know, in your prayer you can request, in your prayer you can be thankful. "Let your requests, your petitions, be made known unto God." Instead of being anxious, go to God with it. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care on him," the same word, the care of the anxiety, because why? Because God cares, a different word, care, for us. So we could give it to him, give our stuff to him, because we know that he cares. So one of God's solution to anxiety is to pray. There it is, very clear in God's word. Look at Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. So the word care means anxiety. It also means like a distracted mind that, you know, leads to anxiety. For example, I'll show you here in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse Matthew 6 and in verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and the world. So in other words, remember in Bible times, they would look at the hand of the master and take, you know, guidance from the master's hand. So if one hand is over here, this is one master, and there's another master over here, and both masters are giving me hand signals, and I'm supposed to obey this one. So I do this, and while I'm doing this, this one over here is telling me stuff, and I can't figure it out. So that builds, I'm distracted, or I'm anxious because I'm going like this. And if you've ever done like this for at least 3 hours, that's probably not too good for your neck or your brain. So if we're doing this in life, that's not cool. We can't do both. So what's the solution to that? Well, here it is, verse 25. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought, don't be anxious. The same word as Philippians chapter 4. Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body. What shall you put on? Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? These are needs, this kind of stuff. But behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not better than they? So it's kind of, there's two things here. Something physical that's really a need, or God's supply. Why take ye thought? Why are you anxious for clothes, for raiment? Consider those lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little believing? So, in other words, God supplies, but there's also these needs, and this can be distracting. This can be anxious if we go down the road. Wherefore, don't be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Do we have need of these things? The answer is what?
Yes.
They're need. But there's another way to do it than pursuing needs. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. They seek these things without God. They pursue these things and they're just going down that road. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But instead of pursuing it like the Gentiles do, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Instead of this and this and this, this distraction which leads to anxiety, Gentiles just do this. What we're supposed to do is put God first. We do this and then he works in all these areas. And that is how we're supposed to live instead of being anxious. So we saw in Philippians 4 that we're not to be anxious, but instead we go to God, and we give him our cares. These verses here are very similar. Instead of being anxious, we put God first. So the big teaching here is you put God first, you pray, and that overcomes anxiety. Is it a need to eat?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, have lunch or dinner. It seems like it's a need in my life anyway. Have lunches and dinners, and is it a need for clothes? I think so. And all this stuff, those are needs. But you know, in this context, there's a greater need than pursuing those needs. And the greater need is God. The greater need than all those things is God. To put him first, and then he helps us along the way. How about Luke chapter 9, please? Luke chapter 9. Think of in our life or in the world, if more people would do what the word's saying, that would sure help. That would sure help the mental health of people all around the world. How about places that don't have a lot of money, different countries or different cities or whatever? If people would learn to put God first, he could really work in these situations. understanding that would really change so many different things in the world. That's a pretty great benefit of prayer, isn't it? How about Luke chapter 9, please? Luke 9. Hey, you know, we're going to Florida, and one of the reasons we're going to Florida is there's people there that, you know, want to learn more, and that would be really great, and we can help them. You know, there's a need for people. Some of you guys are in fellow laborers. There's a need for people to rise up. You know, Bob Chatton was just in South America for 5 weeks. You know, there's a need for leaders. If something is going to move, there's got, you know, if the word's going to move, we need someone to move it. It ain't going to get done if no one will do it. And so there's a need for leaders. And you know, in Jesus Christ's ministry, there was a need for leaders too. I want to read you this. Luke chapter 9, please. And in verse... Luke chapter 9. Wait a minute. Is it Luke 9? It's Matthew 9, I think. Let's go there. Matthew 9. Sorry about that. Matthew 9. Matthew 9 and in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were harassed, these people, and they were scattered. The sheep were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When there's no leaders, or when the leaders don't function properly, then the sheep are harassed. The sheep are scattered. And that's happened, you know, that's happened. So when there's no leaders, not enough leaders, or the leaders don't function, the sheep are scattered, the sheep are harassed by the wolves and all that. And Jesus was moved with compassion on them. And then he had a Blue Jeans meeting to talk to them. No? Then said he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." This was a time in Jesus' ministry where there was a lot more people and things were really growing. And they needed more laborers. They needed more leaders to help oversee the people. And what was his solution, or part of the solution in the context here? Pray. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." It's really great to pray for more leaders. Some of us are getting older, you might have noticed. You know, if God's word is going to go to the next generation and the generation after that, it takes people, younger people, to be able to do these things. And obviously that's true. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Acts 4, 29. "Because of prayer that we can have more boldness and more signs and wonders done when we pray, after we pray." Look at Acts 4. I'd like to have some more signs and wonders, would you?
Yes.
That's always good. All right, how about this? Acts 4:29. Acts 4:29. So, Peter and John got out of jail. They were, they had come before Annas and Caiaphas, two dudes that Jesus Christ came before he was crucified. These guys in the Sanhedrin, they said, "Don't you dare speak anymore in the name of Jesus." They wanted to stop the move of the word, so they threatened them and made him afraid, or tried to make him afraid. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word." Boldness. With all boldness, "by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. So this prayer had two parts. One was boldness, and the other one was signs and wonders. You see that here? Signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what?
Boldness.
Boldness. So that was the answer to one part of that prayer. And the other part here, I just want to read it to you again. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So they prayed for signs and wonders. Look at Acts chapter 5 and in verse 12. These are some benefits of prayer. Verse 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many what?
Signs and wonders.
Look at that. Look at the phrasing is even the same. Many signs and wonders wrought among the people, for they all were with one accord in Solomon's porch. So look at what happened after they prayed that prayer. And the rest durst not join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and that the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. There also came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. That sounds like some signs and wonders, doesn't it? It sure does. Obviously, the temperature of believing was very high, but you know, that was a result. They had prayed that prayer before, and look at what happened in the context. That is just tremendous. Was that a great benefit of prayer? People's lives were changed. People were healed, and many people came to God's word seeing the deliverance that was there. The last one I want to cover here is intercession. You know, it's nice that we can pray for somebody. We can sure do a lot of nice things for people, but one great thing we can do is pray for them, and people sure need prayer. Look at Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians 1. These are a lot of benefits of praying. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 3, Colossians 1, 3, it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. What a beautiful way to open up an epistle, a letter. Paul prayed for them. Paul prayed for them. Paul had a busy life, but you know, he prayed for the believers. One great thing that we can all do for each other is to pray for each other. Whether you're a fellowship coordinator, leader, or believer, you know, that's a really great thing, to pray. People need prayer. How about Colossians chapter 4? Colossians chapter 4. This is the last chapter in Colossians. It says in Colossians chapter 4, and in verse 2, it says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. You guys keep praying. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for me, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. In the beginning of this epistle, Paul told them that he was praying for them. At the end of this epistle, he asked them to pray for him. In the book of Romans, you see the same thing. In the beginning, Paul says that, and at the end, he says this, just like Colossae. Pray for me. Pray for a door of utterance to open that I could speak the word. So the Paul prayed for the believers, and I'm sure that helped. And he asked the believers to pray for them, and that's a really great thing to do, is to pray for leaders. And that's really great. And also he prayed, he asked them to pray for a door of utterance. That must mean that prayer has an effect on the outreach of the word, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
I kind of think so. It's right there, isn't it? So look at that, all in Colossae. It opens with prayer. He prays for them, and at the end, he asks them to pray for them, for him. 1 Timothy, please. So there's a lot of benefits of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is a good thing here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 1 it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, requests, prayers, intercessions. When we pray for somebody else, that's an intercession. And giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. Not a lot of kings around these days, maybe presidents. For kings and for all that are in authority, like governors or whoever else, mayors. For kings, for all that are in authority. Now, if you're a Democrat, you should pray for the president. If you're not a Democrat, then you shouldn't, right?
No.
That's not what your Bible says?
No.
I was just checking. Okay. Now, for kings and for all that are in authority, why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Man, the devil's the god of this world, and these dudes, they have so much power, these people. But yet, our prayer here must have some tremendous influence, because with all these big-time dudes here, we're supposed to pray that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God would not have us to do this unless there was an effect in our prayers. And we know that the political situation in the world, there's a lot of stuff. But look at what it says there. We're to make intercession so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. So, we looked over some benefits here today, and I'd like to go over them briefly here and wrap this up. So, one benefit would be to hang out and fellowship with our Father. Talk things over with our daddy. Or if you're in the Midwest, some people would say pappy. Talk things over with our daddy. We're to do that, right? Number two, prayer helps us to get what we need and even what we want above the need. Let's not limit God. We believe his promises and know that he cares, he provides, and wants to bless us. He can do exceedingly above. We can pray for more spiritual understanding. We can walk sharp and have an abundant life in this valley of human need, in the shadow of death, because the eyes of our understanding are enlightened so that we know that we know that we know. Prayer helps us to overcome anxiety. Instead of being distracted and anxious by our needs and the world around us, we pray and seek him first, enabling him to work big in our life. We can help to have more leadership by prayer. If the word is going to move, it takes someone to move it. It's not going to get done if no one will do it. We can move the word now and into the next generation and generations after that, but it needs people who want to do those things. We can speak the word with more boldness and pray for signs and wonders. In the first century, people spoke boldly and people were healed miraculously. Nothing has changed today. It's the same God and the same word. A great benefit to people's lives is intercessory prayer. We can pray for each other. Pray for leaders, and leaders pray for us. Pray for doors of utterance to open up as we speak. We could pray for people in authority so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. And to close, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For those of you in New Jersey here, I want to thank you for all that you've done for us for these 35 years. First Corinthians chapter 14. What verse should I read? Verse 15, it says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." There's a four-letter word in here, and it begins with a W. I will. Right? Will. So after all these benefits of prayer, a great thing to do is that we decide to pray more. And then we're going to see all these benefits being manifest because we're going to God and pouring out our heart to Him. And His will definitely is that we pray and that we stand. So that's it.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.